In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear saints, we consider our text from Luke chapter 2, where Jesus is found as a 12-year-old boy in the temple. After 3 days, his parents found Jesus in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, asking them questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and answers. And when Jesus' parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them, came to Nazareth, was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. Dear saints, we've all likely said it. There has to be something more in this life. When life begins to become exhausting or boring or a lot of both, we wonder, isn't there something more? Relatedly, when the people that we love and care about are hurting, or are struggling, or a lot of both, we wonder, don't they need something more than me? Our text presents, on the one hand, a truth of a very ordinary child, Jesus. Not much more. His parents went to the feast of the Passover every year. Jesus joins them at the age of 12, the text says, according to custom. That's another way of saying that's just the ordinary thing to do, nothing more. When Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, his parents didn't know about it. They kept going. They supposed him to be in the group. He's 12 years old. What do 12-year-old boys do? They hang out with their friends. That's an ordinary thing to do. Our text presents Jesus coming back to Nazareth with his father and his mother and continuing to honor them, the text says, being submissive to them, serving and obeying them, loving and cherishing them. That's what Jesus does. Now, we all know from having children and from being children, that's not exactly the ordinary thing to do, but we know it should be the ordinary thing to do. It's amazing. You can assume that Jesus helped around the house. He likely fetched wood and cleaned up wood for his dad's carpentry business. He helped Mother Mary with her duties around the house and his brothers and his sisters. Whatever dad and mom needed for the household to be in as good of an order as possible, Jesus would do that. The Gospel of Luke is the only one that gives us any sort of glimpse of what the Son of God is as a boy. What it would be like to see the very image of the invisible God, the Word became flesh at the age of 12. He went down, came to Nazareth, was submissive to them. In an amazing way, it paints an ordinary picture of Jesus, nothing more. But, on the other hand, and in so many other ways, our text presents this child, Jesus, as something way more. He stays behind after the Passover festival. He goes to the temple. He listens to the teachers. He asks them questions. He amazes everyone at his understanding and his answers. There is something more to this 12-year-old boy. That is the Son of God in the flesh, amazing the teachers of his word and his understanding and the answers of the word that was written through them. This is someone more. He speaks to his mother and says, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know I must be in my father's house?" And it's better translated as something like, "I have to be about my father's business. I got to go doing my Father's things. Or for the sake of this sermon, you could say, Jesus says, I honor you, I love you, I cherish you, but I have something more to do than that. He's got to be about his Heavenly Father's business too, his Heavenly Father's things. The Passover feast that Jesus participated in at the age of 12 was something more than a Passover feast. Because the Passover lamb, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, was actually there in the flesh. The lamb who will be sacrificed for us so that God's wrath will be passing over you on the day that you die, you getting heaven, not what we deserve. The temple, those few days Jesus was there in the flesh at the age of 12, was something more. Because Jesus is the temple, God dwelling there, not to condemn you, but to save you. Jesus giving access to God for him to hear you and dwell with you, to live with us. And now your body is God's temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is a carpenter's son, adopted by Joseph, and he likely grew up as a boy learning about wood and how to build things with wood. But he's more. He's the only begotten son of the Father who loved you since the foundation of the world that he built. And that love is most clearly seen when beholding the Son of God become incarnate of the Virgin Mary, made man. He calls a carpenter his dad, a man who works with wood, as his father. And then he dies on the wood of a cross to answer for the sin that we inherited from Adam and Eve's eating from the wood of the tree and all other sins that we have committed since. There is something more to this 12-year-old boy that day. And he gives you what you so desperately seek. Dear saints, you need more than health. You need healing for your soul. You need more than wealth. You need the promise of riches that nothing can take away. You need more than help. You need a Savior. There is more to your life because you have eternal life in Him. And even now you have it. You live in Him. He lives in you, always with you, never leaving you, never forsaking you. There is more to your life when you get weary or when you get bored because you find rest and joy in Him. Jesus is working too, you know, and you find rest believing in those works. You are not enough for the ones that you love. But there is more for them than your love and your work and your promises and your sacrifice. There's God's love. And God's work and God's promises and Jesus' sacrifice. Jesus is enough for you. And Jesus is enough for them. Jesus is the something more. Jesus is the someone more. There is more in this life. And that someone more calls you to be Christ-like in some very ordinary ways. But there is so much more in the ordinary things that you do. There is more to husbands sacrificing for their wives and wives honoring their husbands. More than parents raising their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Children honoring their father and the mother, serving and obeying them, loving and cherishing them. There is more than this life than the laundry and the dishes and the dinners and the cleaning. More than the grind of the daily work and honoring the boss and working hard and showing up and being wise there. And so far as it depends upon you, be at peace with all. There is more than just showing up at church, receiving the Lord's Supper often, confessing your sin, receiving forgiveness, saying your prayers, singing the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. More than helping out keep the church. church going, caring for the property and bringing the kids and volunteering for the leadership and participating in the Bible study and doing everything that you can do to make Christ's light shine through Mount Calvary Lutheran Church so that they see our good works and give glory to our Father in heaven. There is more. There is something more than leading a sexually pure and decent life in what you say and do. More than not hurting or harming your neighbor in his body, but helping and supporting him in every physical need. More than not slandering your neighbor, hurting her reputation, defending her and speaking well of her and explaining everything in the kindest way. There is more to that, but it's not you. You do those things. Jesus will be the more. Jesus is the more. You aren't. Those are the things Jesus calls you to do. Those are the things that Jesus calls you to be. So do them, say them, think those things, and Jesus will be the more. Because he is beyond you in these things, he was before you in these things, and amazingly, he also works in you when you do those things and think those things. When you hear again what you are to do, how you are to offer up your body as a living sacrifice, pure and acceptable to God, when you hear those things and you realize you don't do enough, that you fail and that you deserve God's wrath, then good, you're supposed to hear that. Jesus is the more. Jesus forgives you. Jesus is your righteousness, your holiness, your purity. You are God's child. Heaven is open to you, not because of what you are doing or how well you're doing, but because of what he has done and how well he is doing it in you. When you sin, Jesus is the more. And when you do good, Jesus is the more. So let him be that. Our duty is to think and say and do those things that are true and honorable and lovely. Things like that list included. Things that you should have learned in the catechism and still repeat it and pray. Those things, you do those things in his freedom, in his forgiveness, and the promise that God is working out everything for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Dear saints, go about your business. Go about your things. Jesus will go about his Father's business. Jesus will go about his Father's things. He will be the more. He is the more. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.